Well, I've been plugging our discussion about the what I think is the greatest game of T20 ever played. An amazing game last night at Etihad Stadium between the Renegades and the Hurricanes. And we've also got the start of the one-day series tonight between Australia and Pakistan. And joining us on the line to talk about it is leading cricket writer Greg Buckle. Good morning, Greg.
How are you, Rowan? Thanks for putting me on today.
No worries at all. Always value your learned opinion, mate. Have you ever seen a game of Big Bash cricket like that we saw last night?
Not really. I mean, at the start of the season, I think we all look back on last season and almost every game seemed to be a cliffhanger, but, you know, they keep doing it and we've seen several in the past week or so and I just couldn't believe it. I mean, you'd have to be watching that and thinking, well, they've got this one, 222, and, you know, maybe some of the Gades boys thought the same thing. I mean, how did that happen? But... yeah, I mean, there were a few bowlers who just leak runs and, I don't know, you keep seeing those pitch maps that Damien Fleming keeps bringing out and I think the bowlers just, they either disregard them or they just can't hit the spot, can they? I mean, we could see where young McDermott wanted to whack it over square leg and why would you bowl it there?
Well, the thing, though, is when you're in the sort of form like McDermott was, I mean, he was just taking them from everywhere and hitting them to all parts of the ground. You had to look at his wagon wheel and the shots were literally right around the 360 degrees. And it's just it's not a great gig being a bowler in T20, is it?
No, no. Well, that's right. Maybe we're being too harsh. I mean, the one Flem often talks about is, you know, give him a Yorker outside off that perhaps he can barely reach and he certainly can't hit for six. But I think it was McDermott last night on a free hit. The bowler was very cautious to bowl outside off and he sort of scooped it over third man for six.
Yeah.
So, it's not a good gig and thankfully we haven't gone to the stage of the bowler being feeding the ball into a bowling machine yet, but maybe that is the future.
I guess you see games like that and I guess it makes you think, well, this is really the future of cricket. I must say I've always found it hard and I think anyone in my age group probably finds it difficult to form much of an emotional attachment to any of these teams because they're all so new. But do we underestimate the sort of strength of the allegiance the younger generation are now having towards the, you know, the Stars and the Renegades in this town?
Oh, yeah, I think it is a very good question and maybe it is a bit of a generational gap, but in a sense, Cricket Australia doesn't care what 40-somethings like you and I think.
Anyone?
But, you know, I know my little godson in Geelong and his brother, you know, one's a big Stars man, one's a big Gates man, and you just see all the kids at the games, they just absolutely love it. I mean, you as a little tacker could probably quote Greg Chappell's stats or Dennis Ollie's stats or whatever, and kids are certainly like that just as they've ever been, but they're so connected with the T20 game and the short duration of the matches, and it's in the peak period, which obviously is at a cost to other forms of cricket, and it's at a cost to trying to pick test touring teams, and, you know, it's at a cost to Shield cricket, but it provides a lot of cash. I'm not sure...
That dilemma's never really going to go away, is it, whilst we've got three forms of the game?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We're always going to have someone on the edge of test selection and you're watching him play a T20 game to see if he's, you know, someone like Sean Marsh. It always seems to be Sean Marsh, the one coming back from injury. you know, if he makes runs in a T20 game, what does that mean? But so now we're trying to pick a test squad for India. Based on what? Based on ODI form and domestic T20 form. So, but I mean, further to that, in today's game in Brisbane, there was a lot of form lines and topics of interest. And certainly, Maxi back in the side, Chris Lynn on debut, Big Billy Stanlack on debut. You know, there's plenty of interest there. I mean, I notice we talk about the BBL. I see the cricket's on the back of the Herald Sun, but it's not international cricket. It's the BBL, and you know, there's plenty of cricket going round. I see Andrew Wu says in The Age that Mitch Marsh and Maxie, you know, could be chances to play in the Test series in India next month. So there's a lot of selection issues, I think, to come out of this upcoming series. But perhaps, as you say, it depends on your generation, which form of cricket you're actually following at the moment.
Well, speaking about generation, I mean, we've seen a generational change in the Test side. I wonder if we're sort of seeing that in the one day scene as well. You know, George Bailey and Aaron Finch both dropped. Chris Lynn's come into the lineup. Travis Head, Adam Zampa. The really interesting one, though, is Billy Stanlake, who I'm told Billy's dad played one game for Footscray. VFL game for Footscray in 1981, just by the by. But he seems to have come from nowhere. Tell us what you know about him.
Well, he has had some injury problems, and I think he said recently, look, I was playing club cricket a few months ago, and now look where I am. I mean, if I was a cynic, I'd say it's interesting that Lynn Sanity and Big Billy are making their debuts at the Gabba. Will they both be playing game two in Melbourne on Sunday? I mean, I'm sure it'll help boost the gate, but, you know, if they play well, keep them in there. But, of course, Josh Hazlewood's being rested for the first game.
Mm.
But, you know, big guys like that, I mean, one of my heroes was Bruce Reid, and, you know, he just couldn't hold himself together at all. I think he was 203. Obviously a lot leaner than Billy, but fast bowlers do have an awful, awful trouble, don't they? Just holding themselves together. And I think Billy's 22. You know, Alex Contouris, the long-term Aussie team physio, pointed to a lot of these studies talking about, you know, until you get to 25, you don't have that match hardness. You don't have that ability to withstand the rigours as well. And we've seen that with guys like Paddo and Pat Cummins as well. So let's hope he holds together well, and I'm sure he generates a frightening amount of bounce and swing and seam and everything. So I'm sure he's got a lot of weapons. And, you know, another thing looking ahead to India is Australia keep talking about pace through the air. So I don't think he could be a bolter for India, but it just adds to the concept of Australia just looking for pace.
Well, on that theme, very interesting column by Dean Jones in The Age last weekend about who they should take to India, and he's very much of the view that we're better off taking a quality pace attack than a mediocre spin-based attack. And to that end, he's very much in favour of Pat Cummins getting a Guernsey and playing that series. As you said, the difficulty is that lack of first-class cricketers' preparation. Where do you sit on Cummins as a possibility for India? And if he shows some good form in this one-day series, will that be enough to get him into the squad?
Well, it would be tempting. I mean, I think if he bowls really well, it's just going to fuel that speculation. But I think there's a very strong case for saying no first-class cricket. You know, we can't do this to him. You know, and they do project ahead. You know, you do sometimes hear Darren Lehman say, well, if we did this and that happened, you guys would have crucified us, you know. So they are a bit sensitive to public and media criticism, which is understandable, but you can imagine if Pat Cummins went over there and broke down, it's. I mean, he hasn't played a test since he played his first test several years ago, so I think that's too big a risk. And I see, you know, Andrew Wu in The Age is talking about Mitchell Marsh and Maxie being sort of half batsmen, half bowlers, and just bolstering the side. I mean, I think they just don't have a gun spinner, and they're sort of undecided on their third pace man options. And, you know, we saw in Sri Lanka when I was over there, I mean, Stark was unbelievable. And what else was there? I mean, Steve O'Keefe, I thought, looked all right.
Yeah.
early on. Doesn't take a huge bag of wickets, doesn't do a great amount with the ball. But
he's good for the over rates, gets her an over in about 1.5 minutes.
Yeah, and not the worst tail ender, but with that natural variation that they kept talking about, just put the ball in the same spot and it'll behave differently. Like he didn't look out of place at all. I mean, to be honest, you know, we hear a lot about the New South Wales bias and everything. You know, he had excellent records in Shield for a couple of years, but you see him in Australian conditions and you think, well, is he really turning the ball? But, you know, he went well over there, and he's definitely in the mix. And Nathan Lyon, there's a lot of conjecture, isn't there? So Maxi, he seems to be out of the running, and then he seems to be back in the running. So even though it's a different format, I think he's definitely got his chances now in this series to do something. And, you know, he's such a mercurial figure, but, you know, it'd be great to see him do well, wouldn't it?
Great work, Greg. Enjoy the one day of today and the rest of the one day series. We'll talk to you soon.
No worries. Thanks, Rowan.